The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Do the holidays make you feel more stressed than blessed?
I don't want you to numb out, overindulge this holiday season, wake up on January 1st, feel toxic, lethargic, and go, okay, here I am in a new year. I want you to practice some restraint. I want you to dig deep and go, what are these things I've been trying not to feel? Jesus, I invite you into these places. I want to see your kingdom come in this holiday season because it's been quite a couple of years, and we need you now more than ever.
Susie Larson, next.
Hi, welcome to Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh here with Randy Robeson. And I have to tell you, I'm very excited about our next guest. I can honestly say that she's one of my favorite people on the planet. Every morning on Instagram and every evening, she does like a morning blessing and an evening blessing. And I never miss them, and they speak to me. So Susie Larson, what a joy it is to have you here.
Great to be back with you both again. Appreciate you both so much.
It's always wonderful to have you here. Go ahead, please.
Whenever your name comes up, like when we have production meetings and we all sit around and we talk about guests, whenever your name is mentioned, Randy and I are like, yes. So, but this is a little different, this book for you. It's called, I mean, it's a gorgeous book, by the way. It's called Prepare Him Room, A Daily Advent Devotional. What led to you writing something like this?
You're so right. That is a different kind of book than what I typically write. At Faith Radio, where I work, we did a whole reading program during Advent for the Gospel of Luke a couple of years ago. And immersing myself in the Gospel of Luke prior to Christmas just was absolutely life transforming for me. I can't even explain it, but the words just jumped off the page and I just felt convicted and corrected and redirected and invited. And so I just started to take just, you know, ferocious notes, and I sent a note to my editor and just said, I think I want to write an Advent devotional. And he says, do it. And I'm so grateful for how it turned out. Because, you know, Advent is, it means arrival, it means coming, it means a preparation for arrival. And as we do that in anticipation of Christ's arrival to earth the first time, we're nearer now than ever before, you know, to his arrival on that great day. And this is a time, Advent is a time for fasting and preparation to get our hearts ready. And Sheila and Randy, I feel like in the holidays, I love the holidays. We have a lot of December birthdays in our family. I love the holidays, but I think so often partying ensues and all the things that we do to try to numb the pain that has been just sort of accumulated over the year. Mm-hmm. And this is precisely the time to bring Jesus into your very real pain, because he is a very real redeemer. And so I say, have your parties, have your fun, but really prepare your heart in a way where you're going to see Jesus come into your story in a way that, I mean, develop an expectancy that he could radically mm-hmm. transform you as you live with a holy expectancy. So I am excited about it.
Yeah. You know, you actually start it with that right there, embrace expectancy. What should we expect? Because, you know, a lot of people for the holidays, this time of year, it's tough for whatever reason, it's stressful. But you're really urging us to look beyond sort of the holidays.
Yes.
And look to something good from God.
I love that. You couldn't have put that better. That's exactly right. Again, I do love the anticipation of the holidays, but this is not a fluff book. This really does identify.
It's wonderful.
You know, it does invite people into the depths because of that reality. I mean, some of our hardest times happened over the holidays. And when I think of just the opening story with Elizabeth and Zechariah, I mean, the word says that they were righteous and barren. You know, they were honorable and heartbroken. And it's like, to me, so hard to see those words in the same sentence. But that is our reality. All of us, if we're honest, all of us in some way are kind of bleeding under our armor mm-hmm. or living in the tension of the now and the not yet, where we've seen the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But if we're honest, some of these things haven't turned out the way we'd hoped, or there's still answers to prayer that have not happened for us. So to live with a holy expectancy, Randy, to me, is to not let our hearts get offended with God, to not let our hearts sort of settle into, that's not for me, but to have kind of a divine contentment with a holy expectancy is to really believe any day now God may break through. And, you know, the people who identified Jesus were the ones who were waiting for him. Mm-hmm. Where the Pharisees had this fossilized idea of what religion was supposed to look like, even what the Messiah was supposed to look like. Mm-hmm. So they missed him completely. And I don't want us to miss him, because he very much, he came into troubled times when he was born. He's coming into troubled times when he returns. But the thing that's interesting to me is Jesus himself said that when he returns, it will be like in the days of Noah. People will be partying down and getting married and doing all their stuff. And they're going to be unaware of the fact that heaven is coming to earth for that last time to invade earth, to really put a stake in the ground to say, I'm going to show you who's mine, who belongs to me. And the fact that people are going to be partying and completely unaware, to me, speaks to they're trying to numb out a pain that they don't want to feel. That's why people numb out. That's why people turn to this stuff, is there's so much hurt that they don't want to feel. And if we're looking at the holidays as an excuse and opportunity to finally just sort of set it all aside and numb out, and I don't want to feel what's boiling beneath the surface, we miss the whole purpose of Christ in our Christmas. So if we could understand he loves us so much, he wants to invade those places in miraculous ways, and he is a miracle-working God. Mm-hmm. So that tension of going, I'm going to stay about my daily duties that he's assigned to me, but I'm going to keep the light on in my heart. I'm going to keep an expectancy that God's going to break through.
Your book, I mean, it's like a I don't even know how to describe it properly. It's like a fresh, it's like turn around and see this season in a way you've never seen it before. And you have an interesting feature that I've never seen in a devotional. You have at the end a beautiful prayer, but then you have a fasting section. Talk about that, because that really hit me. I thought, wow, that's a very doable discipline.
Yeah, I love that part as well, Sheila, because as someone who's battled chronic health issues, really active, you know, engaged fasts around food have been difficult for me. I've done them, but for many years, for my whole adult life, actually, I've practiced partial fasts that have been unconventional because I want to make space for God. And so I've done that, where there's times where I give up, you know, TV, or I give up my suspense Christian novels, which is just, I love those.
So suspense Christian novels?
I know. But since I've developed the spiritual gift of suspicion, so I need to, get rid of. But you know, we all have our things that are not sinful, but they're sort of our comfort and our fun things. And when you push those out of the way to make space, so these are unconventional. Like one of them, one of the days, I'm asking you to fast overdoing it when you're trying to impress and more than bless, you know? Another day is fasting self-contempt. When you start to see, come to the edges of yourself, and the temptation is to turn inward, because if Christmas isn't a time for comparison, I don't know what is. And you may think you got it together. Then you see so-and-so, and you're like, you know, I've got moldy clothes in my washer. And you start to really realize, you know, I don't have it all together. And you can go to that self-contempt place. So fasting from some of these things that are
so
attitudes
great.
Of the heart, I mean, engaging restraint so that God can move in those spaces is really powerful.
Awesome. That ties into, let me make sure I get the date, day three, prepare the way. And you said some things in there that kind of convicted me, to be honest with you. Because you talk about what we do to prepare the way for Christ means that we prepare to change. And that change is exactly what you're talking about, making room. And that's just not a nice rearrangement of our lives. That's saying you're the king of everything,
Amen.
Not just a season or, you know, some nice thought, but no, you're the king of all my life.
I love it. You got it, Randy. That you've really picked it up, because when John the Baptist is saying, prepare the way, you know, I started thinking, prepare for what? Did he want everybody to run home, get their act together before they jumped into the waters of baptism? But no, because that's Jesus' work, right? But what he is saying is prepare to change, because the high places will be brought low, the low places high, the crooked way straight. And the idea that, are you ready for this? Because jumping in the waters of baptism isn't just to escape hell. It's for the radical redemption of your whole life. And when you start to think, you know, Jesus, you're my Savior, but you're also my King and my Lord, I'm inviting you into my story, into my coping mechanisms, into my default responses, into the fleshly ways I react. I'm inviting you into all of it. But the thing is, he doesn't come in to condemn. He comes in to set us free. But when John is saying, prepare the way, he's like, are you ready for this? Because I think so often we make it really about pray the prayer, check the box, get out of hell.
Right.
It's not that.
No.
You follow Jesus and he radically redeems your life. But guess what? He turns you into someone you never dreamed you could be. And so are you ready? Are you ready for that? I don't want you to postpone that. I don't want you to numb out, overindulge this holiday season, wake up on January 1st, feel toxic, lethargic, and go, okay, here I am in a new year. I want you to practice some restraint. I want you to dig deep and go, what are these things I've been trying not to feel? Jesus, I invite you into these places. I want to see your kingdom come in this holiday season because it's been quite a couple of years and we need you now more than ever.
You know, we like the idea of kingdom. We want to walk in the kingdom. We want to be a part of the kingdom, but you can't be a part of a kingdom if he's not king.
Come on.
You know?
Somebody give me an amen.
Amen.
So when you talk about that, to me, it's good news, like you say, it's good news, but it does mean clearing out that clutter, making room. And that means getting rid of our old, the junk, which is the good news. We get rid of the junk to get the great gifts.
It's super important to know that we don't go home and clean out the junk, but that Jesus, it's so interesting because when John was preaching, the question became over and over again, what should we do? Notice his answer was different for each of them? Because it's not that they were, this isn't work salvation where he told the Roman officers, quit misusing your power, or the tax collectors, quit being corrupt. Mm-hmm. He was going to those places in their flesh that proved why they needed a Savior in the first place. Mm. And if we're willing to make him king, there are going to be times where he gently points on things to say, you know, that fear, I want to redeem that. That tendency to show up late everywhere you go, well, we both know that's not time management. You're trying to keep yourself from being known, and I want you to be known. Mm. The Lord always calls us up. The enemy always beats us down.
Yeah.
But God is not just satisfied just to save us, to slave us. He wants to save us, to redeem us. But we've got to be humble and teachable enough to let him do that.
In that same devotion, you talk about Sodom in a way I've never seen it before. Because we tend to think of Sodom and Gomorrah, we think of sexual sin. But you quote from Ezekiel 16, where it says the problem was your arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned.
Yes.
That's kind of different.
That's jarring to me. And I read that a number of years ago, where he talked about gluttony, pride, overfed, and then apathy while the poor and needy suffered outside their door. And it's so easy to judge Sodom for their sins, but who of us haven't thought of our, and maybe you don't have a problem with ego and pride, but we all have a problem with overthinking about ourselves. Who hasn't overindulged and consumed more than they ought? Who hasn't seen the need and shrugged their shoulders going, someone else will take care of that?
Right. Yeah.
These are really big deals to God. And again, not for condemnation, but what about if this holiday season, we gave gifts not just to the rich, but to the poor. Yeah. What if we did practice some restraint? What if instead of apathy, we chose engagement? I mean, there are missions all over the world that need our attention.
Yeah.
And you will come alive when you start engaging with God that way.
Yeah. And one of your chapters is on encountering Jesus. And the note I made struck me, and it ties right into what you're talking about, is that we encounter Jesus in times of need. And you talk about people in Scripture who are at their greatest point of need. And that's where Jesus comes in as Lord in a way to fulfill that need, to change what has put us in a position of being needy. I love how you talked about the people who found the answer to that need in Christ.
Amen. You know, that chapter, the things that kind of stuck out to me were, one, when the Jewish elders pleaded with Jesus, help this Roman officer, where normally they were at odds, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he cared about the Jewish people, and he had a slave who was on his deathbed. And this man, this officer, understood authority because he said, I'm under authority, I have authority, you can just say the word. And he also said, I'm not worthy to have you in my home. And there's something so powerful about humility and understanding authority. I think it was Watchman Nee who said, you can't have authority unless you're under authority. Mm-hmm. That juxtaposition of humility and understanding authority makes the devil tremble. I'll just say that. So we need to understand that. But then there was a story in the village of Nain. Mm-hmm. The woman, this widow, it was the worst day of her life. She lost her husband already. Now she'd lost her son. And women without men at that day were so vulnerable. I'm picturing her face in her hands, you know, weeping, trails of dusty, you know, tears. tears down her face. I mean, her life is over. And she didn't ask Jesus for help. She was in the funeral procession, and Jesus came in and decided, not today. And what that speaks to me about him is there's times when you are in such a desperate place, you can't even call on him. Yeah. He's there. Mm-hmm. And Sheila, you and I both have talked about this behind the scenes. He's met us in those places where you can't even lift your head.
Absolutely.
But he is there. He is not indifferent. Mm-hmm. He's not lost your address. He knows where you live. And I just say, understand that about Jesus. And to push him aside this holiday season so you can numb out and not feel your pain, to me, is a travesty, because this is why he came.
You know? You're speaking so much about hope, Susie, because I think of, I'm just thinking of the letters, the notes we all get from people who have found the last, you know, almost 2 years devastating. I mean, people are really shattered. And I think what you are suggesting is, rather than pretending none of it ever happened, inviting the hope of Christ into everything that's happened.
Yeah, I love that. I love that you both are grasping the book. It means so much to me, because it's a radical invitation to encounter a radical God. And his promises are as potent as they've ever been. And people are traumatized. So again, it just would be a complete waste of a sacred holiday to just numb out, you know, engage with God and see. And, you know, he may ask you for something different than he asked from me, you know? I mean, for me, he may say, I want you to create space. I want you to quit worrying about your health. I want you to create some space and cultivate expectancy. Wow. He may say, someone else, I don't want you to get a third job to cover those finances. I want you to sow some seeds and trust me. Mm-hmm. Obedience looks different on each of us, but it's always an invitation to encounter him. You know?
Okay, we've got to get the story in. You have to share the story of the Christmas tree. It's so brilliant.
So I had this Christmas fantasy. I love Hallmark. I love Christmas commercials. And, you know, I was born a week before Jesus' birthday, which is hard to compete with Jesus. But anyway, I love Christmas. And so I had this Christmas fantasy. Well, I came into marriage. You know, we got married young. We had our kids young, had a lot of crisis with Lyme disease and high-risk pregnancies and babies with respiratory issues. And all the while, my friends had money and they had their health. So it even created more of a contrast, right? See those commercials and go, one day you will be mine. Like, I pictured all my kids sitting on the couch and just a perfectly decorated house. That's what was in my head. And it just never happened, because that's when our kids had their respiratory issues. But this was going to be the year. This was going to happen for us. And our dear in-laws, Kev's parents, had given us a really bountiful tree to replace our Charlie Brown tree. And my hubby has this, like, nervous thing he does when he's afraid he's going to let me down. He rubs his nose, you know. And so I'm baking cookies. We've got the chipmunks on. The kids are dancing. They're pulling out the big tree. And all of a sudden, he's rubbing his nose. And I'm like,
no.
What's the matter? What's the matter? Long story short, during spring cleaning, he accidentally had thrown away half of that tree and somehow half of the Charlie Brown tree, so we had two halves of trees that don't fit. And so he's a construction guy. He's like, not a problem, hun bun. He gets a screw gun, he tried everything he could, and I'm like, it's okay, honey. I mean, our living room looked like a catastrophe construction zone. I kissed him on the head, I went to bed, put the boys in bed. In the middle of the night, I woke up and he wasn't there, and I went out, and he was sitting in front of the most perfect medium tree, decorated, holding the lights like they were a remote control to a race car. And I came up behind him. He goes, I was going to make it rotate, but I thought I should stop while I was ahead. And I crawled in his lap, and I was overcome. I was overcome because of what a picture it was of our lives. Our lives were such a mess, so hard. And the Lord in the middle of that. I mean, Kev had vision, you know. I'm like, we don't need a tree this year. He had vision for it, and the Lord just said, I'm not giving up on you, so don't you give up on you. And I'll never forget that. And we had that tree, the medium tree, for years, because it was such a testimony and a trophy of God's grace.
What I like about that chapter is that's where you talk about seeing the story. Yeah. You urge us to think higher and see deeper.
Amen.
And if people will just take what you're telling us, what you're trying to give us a glimpse of Christ this Christmas season, if they will take that to heart, they will see their story as Christ wants it to be, which is good.
Yeah. If they could ask the Lord, I dare you, Jesus, help me see my story. Mm-hmm. Help me see where the kingdom has come to my story. Because in the mess, I couldn't see it. Kev could. But when I got up in the middle of the night and sat with him and marveled at the mess was cleaned up and there was this beautiful creation, we are works in progress, and he is making something beautiful of us. And one of my friends said, if your story's not good yet, God's not done yet. So come on and hang on and keep the light on in your heart. Live with a holy experience. expectancy this season.
So one of the challenges in Susie's book and in Susie's spirit is, you know, it might be great to take our eyes off ourselves and reach out and do something for some other people mm-hmm. who are in desperate need, and we're all about that. So I want you to watch something, and then we're going to tell you some more about how you can get hold of Susie's wonderful new book. Watch this.
In southern Africa, where the mortality rate for children under the age of 5 is the highest in the world, you will find malnutrition clinics like this. These children are living with the consequences of not receiving the nutrition they need because of the lack of food. Their mothers now wait and watch as their children cling to life.
This is the reality of malnutrition. This is the silent killer, the destruction that malnutrition causes, because it starts here. A mother doing everything she can, everything in her power that she can do, she's doing. A child that is helpless and hopeless just needs nutrition.
You say, what do we do? What we do is we reach out and we help these children, but the best is not for us to help them here. The best for us is to be able to help them out in their villages, where we're not feeding, where mission feeding hasn't got to them. Because if we can get to those villages with food, with the mission feeding program, we're able to almost guarantee that we save each and every one of those children's lives. I'm just asking you to give the best gift that you can give. I'm just asking you to open your heart and to say, I'll give it to mission feeding. I will bring help to these children, and to the tens of thousands of children in this area that so desperately need the mission feeding program. Please, open your hearts today. Give the best gift that you can give. Give the gift of life.
What a perfect, perfect invitation to change the way we view this season. Mm-hmm. I was studying James chapter 1, verse 17 recently, and it's talking about pure religion is to take care of orphans and widows. That word pure in the original Greek is the word that we get cathartic from, catharsis, mm-hmm. and it means it's a cleansing to us, a cleansing out of all that we are, all we've gathered, to look and care for others. And I can't think of a more perfect time or a more perfect way to do that than through mission feeding. Randy and I have both been in the situations where we're in the malnutrition clinic and watching children who don't even have the strength to cry. They're on their little last breath, and the hopelessness in the eyes of those darling mothers who are just like us. They're just a mom like you and me. And then we've also been to the villages where mission feeding has already been set up. And the difference is night and day. You know, when we have these orange bowls, I call it a bowl of hope, because the special food that's made over there is specifically made for their dietary needs, protein, vitamins. And, you know, literally one bowl can turn from death to life in a child. And let's make this Christmas not about us. Let's make it about inviting Christ into every broken place and then reaching out in his name. And if we all do it together, Randy, we can change this.
Absolutely. Like you said, we've seen it. We know this works. Sheila and I have been there. We have seen it. We know that it works. We can bring hope to these children in so many of the situations. I know the images are hard to see because it just looks hopeless. But it's not if you will join with us. And let me break it down for you. $30 will feed 3 children for 3 whole months. That's because of the people we have in place, the systems we have on the ground, the experience we have in doing this, and the wonderful volunteers that are already there. We just need you guys watching in the audience to partner with us. $50 will feed 5 children for 3 months. $100 will feed 10 children. Some of you can easily feed 100 children for the next 3 months with a gift of $1,000. As we approach the end of this year, I just hope you'll take a moment and say, Lord, what would you have me do? How many children would you have me feed? Just to get them through that season of difficulty, to stabilize them where they can function on their own again. We've done this for many years, decades. My parents started this so many years ago, out of a burden for the needy. And we have brought this to you over the years, and you have responded. I want to say thank you, but I'm asking you to respond this time of year. Reach out give the best gift you can. And by the way, if you can help with one of the malnutrition clinics, the average cost on those is $24,500. Join with others. Let's put those back in place. Those are critical. Those are last stops before the grave. Let's rescue them. We can do it together. Go to the phone, go online, and give the best gift you can.
Across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves gone and many areas experiencing severe famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. Also, please consider an extra gift to help immediately rebuild malnutrition clinics destroyed by record flooding in South Sudan. This urgent need is $392,000 above our normal feeding budget and is critical to help save the lives of those who are suffering most. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you Christmas Grace. This eye-opening new 31-day devotional will give you a fresh perspective on the greatest gift ever given and the life-transforming hope found in Christ's birth. With your gift of $100 or more, request the Love and Thanks Tumblr set. With scriptures reminding us that God's love never fails and to always give thanks, these tumblers will keep drinks hot or cold wherever you go. Finally, with your gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and care for 100 children, be sure to request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Divine Servant. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
I want you to experience what we're experiencing today. I want you to feel my joy, to understand the gratitude I have in my heart for the fact that we can hand out these bowls of food, because they're not bowls of food, they're bowls of life. We're here and we're able to fill these bowls on a daily basis as long as you continue to partner with us. As long as you do your part, we'll do ours, and we'll make sure that these bowls get filled, that they get handed out, and that these tummies get filled and these lives get saved. So please continue to partner with us. Continue to bring joy, happiness, and life to child after child.
I hope you are going online or going to the phone, giving the best gift you can. You partner with us, we can give hope to so many children. And Sheila, I hope people will request Susie's book.
It's gorgeous. For any gift at all, just say, I would like Susie's book. And honestly, I think you should probably buy 10 and give them to all your family members. Susie, thank you for everything you pour into everything you write and for this beautiful gift that will change our Advent season. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Always honored to be with you both.
And we will see you next time here on Life Today. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
And don't forget, as we get close to the end of the year, don't forget to get in those year-end gifts. Let's make a difference in Jesus' name.
I think that prophecy has cast its light back across our culture.
Where do we go from here? Tomorrow with David Jeremiah. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.